Hello.
What's up, my people?
Well, y'all got to do better than that. I said, hello.
Hello.
Have you guys ever seen City Slickers? Back in the day, Billy Crystal, he's like, hello. I'm going to start doing that, and you're going to say, hello. Anyway, that was pretty weak. So this week, we're continuing our series called In the House, and it's like not in the, for all of you, you know, like uppity folks, it's in the house. And what we've talked about so far is, let me kind of give you some reference here and some ideas where we're going. The house is the church, and we're talking about being in the house, and it's so important to run to the house instead of run from the house, because, you know, a lot of people, especially younger people, you know, in your 20s and you're trying to find their way, people run from the house, and that's the wrong thing to do. Look, find your way. Even if you don't know what you're doing, you're trying to put things together, you're trying to make sense of stuff, do it in the house, because then at least you got some parameters. You're not going to be a complete moron. I don't know. That's just a thought. That's just me. And look, I'm speaking from experience. I'm with you, all right? So we talked about that, and then we talked last week about how it's our job to protect the house. Like, what you say about the church and how you talk about the church and your attitude and hopefully lack of cynicism, we have a responsibility to build the church up in our speech and our communication when we're talking to people in our conversations. And so we must protect. Remember the Under Armour dude? Protect this house, right? Okay. And so most of you guys are like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about, dog. You made me look real bad. Appreciate it. And this week, what we're going to talk about, and I'm really, really excited about this one. We're going to talk about there's help in the house. And what's so good about this is, like, dude, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 100 years. Like, you're still going to have times in your life when you need help. And the church is a great place to do that. We've got some incredible, incredible volunteers who are great leaders who really love Jesus. And you know what? They even have seasons where they struggle. And the problem with that is, or, you know, I guess the beautiful thing about that is that they've got a place where they can come and they know that, hey, even if everything else in life is crazy, I've got this constant, this place where people love me, people care about me, and they, you know, they love me in spite of me sometimes, right? Right? You know you well enough to know that sometimes people need to love you in spite of you. Because, I mean, look, we can all be a little jerkish sometimes, and we need people. Love, this is what's so cool about love. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. So sometimes we just need somebody to love us in spite of us, and that's what the church is all about. And so that's what we're talking about this week, is how there is help in the house. And this one's really personal to me. I think, I told you guys this. I honestly believe that if it wasn't for the church, that I would probably be dead. Like, I really do believe that. Or in prison or something stupid, right? I had a friend one time. This is kind of a random story. I had a friend that I went to school with. This guy was, like, the jock of all jocks. Like, you remember those guys? Like, you know, I feel like I'm a kind of a, you know, alpha male, you know. And this guy was, like, double alpha male, right? And he told me one time, and he was dead serious. He's like, I'm either going to be in the Marines or I'm going to go to prison. He went to the Marines. Thank God. Like, he's a Marine drill sergeant. And I'm like, yes. So anyway, we're going to talk this morning about how there is help in the house. And one of the benefits of being in the house, the first one that we're going to look at, is that when we stay in the house, we stay connected to the ultimate helper. Like, man, when you look at, if you read the scripture, if you read the Bible, all throughout, God is, like, there referenced as our help, or he wants to help, and he just longs to help his people because he knows that we need it, right? Like, it's interesting that God is a great helper and we need help. It's a pretty good match, right? Anyway, a good example of that is in Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 through 2. And you guys have probably heard this. I think they've got songs about it and stuff. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? Right? You've heard that one? And I think there's a different version. It's like, I will lift my eyes to the hills for that's where my help comes from, or something to that effect. And then it says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so just the premise is simply that God is there to help us. He longs to help us. He wants to help us. And he knows that sometimes we're helpless, and he's the only help that we have. And so when we stay connected to the house, you just constantly get reminded of the fact that, hey, man, you got some help. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to have it all figured out all of the time. You've got people that are there. They're going through the same struggles. They know what it feels like to do this or to do that, and you can get through it together. That's the beautiful thing about it. Being in church, like I said, gives us constant reminders. Every song that we sing is just a reminder that we serve a God who loves us and is there to help us. Hopefully every message that's preached just points you to this Jesus who loves you in spite of you and is there to help you. Man, I think about so many of the verses that we just kind of, we know, but But sometimes we forget. You know the difference between knowing something and knowing something, right? Like, I know some things sometimes, but sometimes I don't live out what it is that I know. And so when I think about, you know, these verses like Jeremiah 29:11, for, you know, God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you a future and a hope and not calamity. Like, we need to hear that sometimes, and we need to be reminded that, you know what, my life may be crazy right now, and it may not be going the way that I think it should, or maybe I'm struggling with this, or maybe I'm struggling with that. But when you stay a part of the house, you get reminded that God has a plan for your life, a plan that gives you hope and a future and not calamity and not craziness. You know what sin always does? We'll talk about this more later, but if your life is full of drama, it's probably full of sin. I'm just telling you, because sin is always so dramatic, and it creates drama and it creates tension in relationships. And that was free, and we'll talk about it more, and I'll charge you, okay? Just kidding. You know, this is my personal opinion, and maybe it's because I'm leading it and I'm not that smart, but I don't think it's the church's responsibility to be like the school of theology. Like, some people, nobody here, you guys are incredible, right? Right? When I say you're incredible, you're supposed to say, yeah! Okay, I mean, geez, take a compliment, people. So I just don't think that it's the church's responsibility to be like, you know, this school of theology where we sit down and teach you every Greek word in the New Testament. Like, you know what's funny about that? This is pet peeve-ish, you know, one of those things. People that are always griping about the church not being deep, my question is always like, what do you do in your own time? Like, they come and they want the church to like teach them all of these things, but they're not willing to put forth effort on their own. And so my response is just shut up. Basically, that's how I feel about it. Anyway. But I don't know that that's the church's responsibility. I think you've got a responsibility to dig in and pursue knowledge and wisdom and all of those things. I think it's the church's responsibility. Hopefully we teach you guys some things along the way. But really, I think it's just to constantly remind you of the hope that we have in Jesus and the help that we have through the Holy Spirit. Like, I think that's our job. Just every time you come, you get reminded, man, God really does love me. I've got hope in Jesus in spite of my circumstances, and the Holy Spirit is with me to empower me and to help me get through whatever it is that I face. Like, that's, if we do that, we've won, in my opinion. And again, maybe it's because I'm leading and I'm not that smart, so that's just me. And it's just interesting to me that the Holy Spirit is referred to as the helper. I don't know. I found that pretty fascinating. In John chapter 14, verse 26, this is what it says. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, just so everybody knows. Like, Jesus knows what's going to happen. He knows that he's going to, you know, be crucified on the cross and ascend and leave and, you know, all of those things that we do, or he did, not us. If you do, that's pretty impressive, if you can ascend. But it says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. And really, our focus is just the fact that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, he referenced the Holy Spirit as the helper, because he knows that we need help. And so he gives us this constant guide to help us whenever we need help. And it's really interesting. I know we said we cracked on being like deep and theological, but the Greek word for Holy Spirit is parakletos. I think I said that right. But just anytime I say a Greek word, just agree with me and assume that it's right, okay? Don't ever go look it up. And I'm just kidding. You know what I'm saying? And this is what the definition is. The definition, when it says that he's our helper, it means he is by our side and he comes to our defense. And I thought this was really fascinating. It means, it can also be used kind of in a legal sense, as in he's our helper, he's our advocate, he's our lawyer. And I was just like, isn't that cool? Because, you know, when we get in trouble, how many, you know, like, just imagine that, like, you're, you know, this really, really rich kid and your daddy got all kinds of money and you get in all kinds of trouble. What's the first thing your daddy does? He calls the lawyer. And I'm like, that's pretty good. Because when we get in trouble, and you know you got somebody on your side fighting your case for you, and he is your defense, and he's really good at what he does, like, you can live, you can know that you're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay. And now, I'm not saying you go do anything that you want, and the Holy Spirit will take care of it. I'm not saying, don't be stupid, right? Like, we all know that. But it's just good to know that when we go through struggles in life, that we have somebody who's there on our side at our defense. When we make church a regular, let me clarify the word regular. Shall I? I mean, look, can we, I just want to talk about this for a minute. And you guys do a pretty good job sometimes. Regular means as consistently as possible. Look, I've explained this before. The math is pretty simple. There are 168 hours in a week. We asked for one. Just Just give us one, right? And it's not even for me. And it's not even for you necessarily. A lot of times it's for other people because it's so cool that I'll never forget this. Daniel talked about this one time, that he was a part of a church and a guy basically explained to him that sometimes we don't come to church for ourselves, we come to church for other people because you never know who it is that you can influence just by you being there. And you never know what kind of difference you can make in somebody's life just by you being there. And so when you make church a regular means, look, if your granny die or you gotta work, I understand. Other than that, get in the house. I'm done. All right. So when we stay connected to the house, it helps us stay connected to the truths that God is with us and that he is for us. And I love the way it says in Romans, you know, this is like one of those, you need a handkerchief and start sweating and like an organ, right? You got my back. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, and it says, if God is for us, who is against us? And there's this other verse or other version of the verse, and it says, if God is for us, then who can stand against us? Like, ain't no way. I got this. God got my back. You going down, honky, right? I don't know. That's the new Chris version. And it's hot off the press. If God is for us, who is against us? This is what's so good about it. Like, we've got proof that he's for us because of what Jesus did. It's like it follows up with, look, God is for you and nobody can stand against you. And we know that because he who did not spare his own son but delivered him over for us all, he gave Jesus as the penalty for our sin. We know that he loves us and he'll take care of us. How will he also not with him freely give us all things? Like, he's there to help you, and he proved it by what he did by giving his only son to be the substitute for every sin that was ever committed or ever will be committed. Like, we've got the down payment. Like, you understand? Like, if you guys ever purchased anything, taken out a loan, you usually got to have a down payment. There's your down payment. Like, you got this. You're going to get through this. I don't know. It's important to know that there's help in the house, and maybe your life is perfect right now. Like, and I hope that it is, but your time is coming, right? There's always calm before the storm. You just live long enough and you'll know. Like, if everything is good, you better start looking out because things are fixing to go sour. That's just my personal experience. I don't know. That's what being in the house does, man. It just reminds us that there's help in the house and that we stay connected to this ultimate helper. The second benefit or second way this kind of plays out for us, we're doing 3 points. We're going back to our Baptist ways today. The second point is this. The church, isn't it interesting that the church is referred to, kind of, especially this place that we gather for worship, is referred to as a sanctuary. Have you ever thought about that? Like, we don't call it like the gathering room or anything like cool like that, or, you know, the assembling room. It's the sanctuary. And, you know, the definition of the word sanctuary is a place of refuge or safety. Like, that's the definition of the word sanctuary. And I don't know, when I hear that word refuge, I get kind of a visual of a refugee running with his family, trying to find safety. You hear all of these stories about, you know, in Africa, these nations that are going through civil war, and they have to literally move out all of the citizens because it's so war ravaged. And these families are transplanted from their homes to a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place where they're not any longer threatened by violence or all of the crazy stuff that's going on. And I just kind of get a picture of, like, when they finally get there, and they lay their head on their pillow at night knowing that they're not going to get attacked, knowing that somebody's not going to come in with a machete and chop their hands off, because that's the crazy crap that goes on. Like, can you imagine the peace that they feel when they know that they're at rest and they know that they're safe and everything's going to be okay? Maybe it's not perfect. Maybe it's not what they hoped their life would be, but they know that they're safe. Like, I kind of think about it like that. Or maybe, have you guys ever seen, like, a really, really strong storm, and like a little bird kind of flying through the storm, and he's like all over the place? There's an old country song. It's like two sparrows in a hurricane. I'm embarrassed that I know that. Can we back up? And you guys just, I need one of those Men in Black things where you just forget everything I just said. But just imagine that, you know, obviously a small bird and a 50-mile-an-hour storm are not a good combination. He just gets kind of blown around, and the rain just beats him down until he finds a tree that's got some covering, and he can get up under a limb or climb up in a hole or whatever it is, and he can find rest and peace and solace in spite of the storms of life. And to me, that's what the church is. It's a place where we can come And despite of all the worries we face in life, and despite of all the storms that you may go through for a brief moment, I'm not saying that if you come in, like all your life is going to be perfect. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that for a minute or an hour, that maybe you can forget about some of the things that you're going through. You can find some relief, some respite, some comfort. And that's what the church is. It's this place. It's a sanctuary. And don't we need that? Like, I don't know about you, but it's good for me to know that, man, even if my life is just buck wild, I can go to church and everything's going to be all right for just a little bit. I may have to go back out and deal with whatever I've got to deal with, but at least I've got that time. And this is kind of how I see it. It's a good time for us to recharge our batteries and go out and fight the fights that we've got to fight and deal with the stuff that we've got to deal with. And so it's just interesting to me that this sanctuary gives us a time of rest so that we can go back out and continue to fight the good fight of faith. You know, like it says in 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, right? So that's what it does. So being in the church, being in the house, gives us that time to do that. It gives us the ability to recharge, you know, essentially our batteries. Just imagine you're a power tool, right? And you need your battery. Even awesome DeWalt power tools got to have their batteries recharged. And so that's what you are. You're a DeWalt. They're good. In other words, there's help in the house. And the last one is this. This one is probably my favorite, you know, point, just because I make them up and I put the best one at the end. So that's how it works. The house has a loading dock. And I'll explain all of this. If you don't know what a loading dock is, everybody know what a loading dock is? You know, a building has this place where they can back up freight, you know, 18-wheelers or trucks, and then they unload all of the stuff that's on the truck into the dock. And so just imagine, I know obviously this is, I'm stretching here, but just imagine we've got a loading dock on the back of the building, and you can back up a truck and unload it. So that's kind of where we're going with this. And I guess the idea is just that the church, not only can you find some temporary relief from some of the struggles that you go through, you can find this temporary feeling of sanctuary and safety and refuge. But you can also unload anything that's like burdening you and weighing you down and causing you kind of to feel the weight of life. You don't have to carry all of that stuff. A lot of times we try to carry things that we were never intended to carry. And sometimes you're intended to carry them, but you're never intended to carry them alone. And so when we get together, we come together as the church, you get to unload all of the weight that life has and kind of puts on you. And I know that it's really easy to imagine. Just imagine that you're carrying like bag. Have you ever gone on a trip and you've gone through an airport? And if you have kids, like you end up carrying all their stuff too. Like that's just the way it goes. And I don't know how, you walk for however long you walk and you're carrying, I always have a backpack and a suitcase, and then you always end up carrying somebody else's suitcase. And I don't care how strong you are, that it just gets old at some point. You're like, your shoulders are burning. You're like, oh my God, right? Like, feel the burn. And you're running through the airport like Arnold, like, get out of the way. That's not how Arnold would say it. Got to brush up on my Arnie. That was not very impressive. But you get the point. Like, dude, I don't care how strong you are. Over time, the burden will weigh you down. It'll have its effect on you. It'll take its toll on you. And we do this with all different kinds of burdens. Some of us do it with relational burdens. Like you let relationships with your family or your significant other or your friends like just weigh on you and weigh on you and weigh on you. And you just carry the weight of that relationship. Some of us do it with work. Like some of you are like really, you really care about your job. Too much, maybe. Let me just set something up. Look, hey, we don't, I feel like, sigh. Hey. We don't, I don't know what the deal is. You don't live to work. You work to live. And don't ever make work such a priority in your life that it allows you or it affects you when you get off work. And I know this is not easy, but man, just leave work at work and let your family and the time that you have with them and the friends and the time that you have with them be the most important thing that you do when you're not at work. We say this all the time. It's like, make sure that those that are closest to you get the best from you. And if you're giving your best to your job, now, dude, be a hard worker, pursue excellence, do all of those things. But don't give your boss your best, give your wife your best. Don't give your boss your best, give your husband your best. Don't give your boss your best, give your kids your best. Don't give your boss your best, give your friends their best. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, like give your boss good, but save some energy for your family, right? Don't rip them off. You guys know what I'm saying. You're smart people. And so like some of you carry the burdens of work and man, I got this to do and I got this to do. Do you really? Like just chill out some, boss. You're going to be okay. You know what? It can probably wait till tomorrow because there are a lot of procrastinators in the world that seem to get through life. Right? I don't know. I'm not telling you guys to be slackers, and I'm not promoting that. But, you know, find some balance. Some of you have financial burdens because right when you get out of high school, you get all these cool credit card offers and you're like, wait a minute, I can buy something now and not pay for it now? Let's go, right? And what happens is it catches up with you and then you start to carry financial burdens. And some of you have insecurity burdens, right? Like this is something that just about every human being deals with. And if you don't, well, you're dead. Because everybody deals with some kind of insecurity, and maybe it looks different for each of you. And insecurity is probably one of the most burdening things in all of the world, because you know what it does? It makes you a prisoner of your own mind, and you just dwell on it constantly, and everything that happens reminds you of your own insecurity, and it's burdening. It weighs on you. And another one, you know, let's just talk about it. Sin burdens, right? Like this is what sin does. Sin has a very, very consistent pattern. Sin entices you, you know, temptation. You give in, we give in. What happens then is that you find sin would not be enticing if it didn't have some element of pleasure or fun to it, right? Like everybody's aware of that. You guys are, you know, y'all get this. And so what happens is you're enticed by sin, you give in to sin, you experience the temporary pleasure that sin brings. Sin gets old because it's just not as fun anymore and it doesn't have the lure and the luster that it once had. And once it becomes old, then it kind of becomes burdensome, right? And then all of a sudden, you're carrying all of the stuff that you thought was so good at first. Now, all you carry is guilt. All you carry is shame because you're doing things that you know you shouldn't do, and you're hiding things from people that you care about. Like, that's what sin does, and it weighs us down. And what's so cool about the church is that we have a place where we can come and we can lay all of those burdens down. I don't care if you've got relational burdens, you can come in. And dude, I don't know, for every one of us, it may look a little bit different. There are times and there are things that you can come in, you can find almost immediate relief, right? And there are other things that you're gonna have to work through. And so, you know, for you, it may be different, whatever you gotta do, but this is a place to start. That's the point. And you can unload some of that junk that you're going through. The good news, the gospel, is that there's help in the house. When we come together, we get to experience the joys and the benefits of having a relationship with Jesus. And you can do all this stuff on your own, absolutely, like we know that. But there's something about doing it together. And there's some kind of power or energy or momentum that's created when we do it together. We do it corporately. You lay whatever burdens you may have when you lay them down. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. This is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Absolutely love it. 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So let me interject a few words there. Cast all of your fears on him because he cares for you. Cast all of your doubts on him because he cares for you. Cast all of your insecurities on him because he cares for you. Whatever it is that weighs you down, cast it on. And man, when I think about the word cast, like, you know, like, not like cast, but like, not only am I just going to, like, you know, slip it off and, like, be done with it, like, I'm going to chunk it. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to throw it as far away from me as I possibly can. Like, when you cast something, how many of you guys have ever fished? Yeah. Have you ever fished with an 8-year-old? Right? You're lucky if they hold on to the pole. But man, when they cast, like, it's all in, baby. It's like, like, that's the idea. Just cast it away from you. Be done with it. When you cast something away from you, like, it's over. Like, there's so much distance between you and it that you're not going back to it, and it's not going back to you. What's funny, coming back to sin, I heard this quote one time, and I thought it was so good. And it says that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And this is what's so cool about it. When we cast it off, it doesn't have that kind of grip on us. It doesn't have that kind of power. It doesn't have the ability to keep us longer than we want to stay. And it doesn't have the ability to cost us more than we want to pay because we've cast it off. And we'll wrap up with this verse, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. You guys have heard this. I know you have. He says, come to me. This is Jesus talking again to all of his disciples. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Like, isn't it interesting that 2,000 years ago, Jesus said those words? Because the human condition really hasn't changed that much. Like, we fret about life and we fret about things and we worry about stuff. Like, if you go all the way back to Matthew chapter 6, he's like, look, don't worry about life. Like, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And all of these things will take care of themselves. But we get it backwards. We seek first our lives and we seek first our possessions and we seek first our families. Like, all of those are good things, but the first thing has to be our relationship with God. And when we get it in reverse order, worry comes, anxiety comes. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, it's the word yoke there. It's like basically kind of the simple explanation. There we go. Big word. Sorry. The simple explanation is that, like, take my teachings upon you. Take my ways upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then he finished it up, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we go through life sometimes, like, not feeling like that. Like, we go through life sometimes feeling like, man, this is heavy and this is hard. And Jesus doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to go through life knowing that if we trust in him and we've got hope in him, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I think that if we walk away knowing that and doing something with it, then today is a win. And we're on the right track and we're doing the right things. And so what I want to do is I just want to pray. And then when I get through praying, let me just kind of give you the order of experience here. When I get through praying, the band's going to be up here and we're going to play this song. And we just want to take a few minutes for you to have some time to think about your life. We call it reflection, right? Like, you got to think of a really clever spiritual word for it. So you're just going to have some time to think about your life, like what you're going through. What is it that worries you? What is it that creates anxiety in you and causes extra concern that you don't need to carry in you? And we're going to have a time where we can just kind of throw it away, like cast our cares on Jesus because he cares for us. And so let me pray, and then we'll have that time. There will be people at the back if you want to talk to somebody. You know, you can do that as well. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful that you gave your son for us. God, that you have proved your love to us by what you've done for us. God, that we could never doubt the great love that you have for us because of what Jesus did. God, I pray that you would help us to live with a renewed confidence in you, that our help is in you, that you are our source of hope, that you are our source of life. God, in whatever we may face, in whatever storm may come, in whatever trial may come, God, that we have hope and help in you. God, help us to stop trying to do this thing on our own. God, help us to stop trying to be woman enough or man enough to get through it on our own, because that's just not how we were intended or created to live. God, you created us for community. You created us for relationship with you and with each other. God, help us to live like that. Help us to cast our cares on you, because we know that you care for us. God, I pray that you would use this time, just these few brief moments, God, to lift heavy burdens that are on people's lives. God, I don't care what it is, and I don't care what they've done to get in the situation, God, but you would help them to cast their cares on you because you care for them. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.